Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about, y'all know what I'm talking about, straight funk, no chaser, right? No additives, no preservatives, just straight funk 101. This is what your girl is bringing. Welcome. This is CHOCLET, your favorite flavor, and you are tuned in to Everybody is a Star. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but it is hot in California, like 100 degrees hot, something like that. So not only is it hot outside, but tonight is going to be hot right here live on Tribe Family Channel, okay? So let's turn it up and get it started. Not only do we have Detroit in the house, but we have P-Funk in the house with none other than Shirley Hayden.
Thanks to Jillian for all the fans. Thank you to all the fans. Thank you to the fans, the Funketeers, the Hunketeers, the clones, the pre-clones, the cronies, the geepies, the sleepies, and the maggots for wooing the living pee out of us. You are too much. Thank you for your intellect key. I really do appreciate it. I just wanted to see if I can get that out.
Again, you did. You got it all out, okay?
All right.
I just want to thank you for taking time off your busy schedule for joining us tonight. And I'm not going to keep all those people you just named. I am not going to keep them waiting. So we are going to get right into it right now. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So now what I like to do is I like to start from the very beginning. I like to find out where a person, you know, where their hometown is, what school they went to, so they can shout out their schools and all that.
Okay.
And their churches. We got to know because, you know, we know we all went to church and joined the choir, most of us. And so that's part there. Let's start with where you came from.
Okay, well, in 1952, I was born to Minnie and Leon McWilliams in Meridian, Mississippi. Contrary to what I've heard on the internet, I was born in Detroit, but I wasn't. Meridian, Mississippi, but I was raised here in Detroit, so my roots are in the South and my head is in the North.
Okay, I heard that.
Yeah.
So now what schools did you go to?
Attended West Side schools here in Detroit, Michigan. Northwestern High School is where I graduated high school. Mary Grove College, Lewis College of Business. You know, those schools. Mm-hmm.
All right. So now that we have shouted out your schools, now what were your first musical influences in school? Did you get introduced to music in school or in the home? What were your mom and daddy listening to around the house?
Mama and daddy with their tabletop record player and our 45s and LPs,
right?
Were listening, and it was color green. The box, the record player was green.
Okay,
they were listening to Tina Turner, Brooke Benton, a little bit of Motown. My mother loved Marvin Gaye. All of the blues. I heard the blues in my home. I grew up on rock and roll, you know, Hot Chocolate, Average White Man, Led Zeppelin, you know. We grew up on the music that we were listening to on CKOW, Motown music. Loved all the Motown music. Yeah. Where
now,
my
The Funkadelic. I heard the Funkadelic in the late 60s. Yeah.
Okay.
They were Motown.
Okay.
They were Motown then, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So now, how did the rock and roll sneak in there? You heard that on the radio?
Yeah, we heard that on the radio. And those were the albums that we were buying. You know, those were that was the music that we were listening to, the average white band. And, you know, what's his name? Not Howling Wolf, that was the blues. The name escapes me right now, but yeah, the rock and roll is what we heard mostly on the radio. And,
right, right.
And performing live music, starting out elementary in the bands, you know, we mixed it up with the rock and roll. All of our music had a tinge of rock and roll to it because, I don't know, in my environment, we all tend to listen to the same kind of music, the rock and roll, the rhythm and blues, the gospel, most definitely, because we all, my little group of social family, grew up in the church, and that was
right.
That was our first introduction to outside of the radio, the church, you know, the live piano, the live voices in the church were the first introduction to live music, harmony, and, you know, the emotion, understanding the emotion behind the words that are being sang, you know, however
exactly
the vocalist decided to express it, you know, learning expression and, you know, getting your firsthand experience with being a vocalist was in the church. That's where you learned to sing harmony. You know, that's where you learned a melody outside of elementary school. And elementary school, we had the best of teachers. You know,
mm-hmm.
we had the best, and they were young. We didn't realize how young, how youthful they were back when we were in elementary school and junior high school. But our teachers were very youthful, and they enjoyed teaching. My music teachers enjoyed teaching. You know, we had Brazil Denard, who Brazil Denard was at Northwestern High School, but Brazil Direct was in charge of all of the music in certain districts of Michigan, all of the music programs in Detroit Music, Detroit, Michigan. And we had him as our everyday music teacher at Northwestern High School. You know, what a blessing that was.
Mm-hmm.
So, elementary school, secondary school, like I went back to college to study music, to get a degree in music, which I haven't received yet. I'm still working on it, still
that's
a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ongoing, Chocolate.
Right.
It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. I heard you mention the orchestra. So did you play an instrument?
I played my vocal cords.
Okay, so you sang.
Yeah, when I went back to school, yeah, I sang. But when I went back to school, of course, I had to learn to play musical instruments.
Right.
Know? I mean, I had to start from, you know, ground zero. I was playing the bells, you know, the bells. I was playing, what else did I play? Oh, well, I had private lessons with piano and, yeah, that was part of the process. I had to learn how to, you know, because we're studying the fundamentals of music.
Right.
So,
right. When
I mean, even though I was a vocalist.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, presently.
Yeah, but
yes.
Music was still in school.
Oh, yeah, it's ongoing. Yeah, it's ongoing.
Now.
And I,
When did the music bug first bite you as far as singing, as far as the reaction that you got when you stood up in front of an audience and sang, like, how did you know that singing was for you? Was it in church initially?
Well, Mother says that I was about 3 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a hold of one of the adults' beer and got drunk. And started talking about I wanted to blow a horn. I wanted to blow a big horn, okay?
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, that's beyond my recollection. But it was, you know, it was instilled in me as from I'm sure, embryo, because my daddy was a gospel singer. Daddy had
okay.
a beautiful bass voice. And Mama could sing.
And what was his name?
My daddy was Leon.
Leon,
he was
okay.
Leon. Yeah, and I don't ask me the name of the gospel group he performed in with, along with my uncle, Baby Ruth. They were in several gospel groups. That was their
mm-hmm.
thing back when we were kids. Of course, I didn't know how in-depth it was because I was a little girl, but
mm-hmm.
I knew that my daddy sang, and he had a beautiful bass. You know, that type of
bass
voice. Yeah, so that was, he definitely was a vessel. That was a vehicle.
Okay.
To my elementary understanding of music as well as church.
Right.
You know, the way
so
those sisters.
Go ahead, I'm
the
sorry.
The way those sisters, you know, the elder sisters, they had a way. My grandmother, my father's mother, Grandma Gertrude, down south Mississippi, had a way of taking a lyric. You know, they had that tone. You got to have a tone. So they had
right.
that tone. And, you know, they had a way of taking that lyric and, or, you know, and bringing out the emotion of a gospel song, you know, whatever was his eyes on the sparrow, whatever it is. I mean, you could honestly see the God's eye on the sparrow. I mean, they were so vivid. They knew how to tell a story. They could take a lyric and just bring it to life. My grandmother was like that. And
mm-hmm.
when I realized that music was a way, I think I was embarrassed at first from the first, that initial response, because I didn't know what it was, you know,
mm-hmm.
what it was that I was doing exactly, because we're imitating this voice on the record player for the most part, on the record, you know, we're learning mm-hmm. a song from this record, and
right.
but I never wanted to sound like the record, I never wanted to sound like Chaka Khan. I wanted to have the emotion, to emote the emotion that she had in her delivery of the song,
mm-hmm.
but I never wanted to sound like Chaka. You know what I'm saying? I want to sound like Shirley.
Yeah, you want to do it. You want to do it your way, do your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, as we're growing up, you know, your buddies will tell you, that's not the way you sing that song.
mm-hmm.
So
right.
I was a little timid, a little shy. I knew I could sing, but I didn't know that what was happening was someone responding to the emotion of the song that I'm singing. I thought that it was something wrong, but as I grow and learn, that was a person being moved emotionally, spiritually, by
mm-hmm.
your voice. It is something. It's something special. It's healing. It's medicine. It's healing.
Right,
and,
especially in a church atmosphere and environment, because, you know, that's what people come for. You know, it's about emotion. They have to feel that emotion, and it makes them feel better about themselves. And that's why church is such a good place to start out, which we almost all of us do, most black singers start in the church, which there's no better place to start, because this is where you learn about, you know, like you said, about the emotion and what the emotion, the effect that emotion has on people, and how that energy goes back and forth between you. And because, you know, church folks, there's one thing about them. If you're not singing, you know, all those right little licks, or if you don't have what it, you know, if you don't seem like you're being genuine about what you're doing, baby,
right,
they will let you know.
Oh, they will let you know. And that's where you want to learn it. You want to learn it in that type of environment. You know, like the young people today, I don't know if they're studying. It seems like they're not really. There are some that are studying, but for the most part, nobody wants to study. It's like all of it is instantaneous. I mean, you got the melody, you know how to sing melody, you know how to phrase, you know, you got your tone, you got your rhythm, you got all. But then when you hit the stage live, it's not happening.
Right.
You have to spend some time. You have to spend time with a lyric, with a song. And I learned, well, you know, we've always done that. We study. I've been studying all my life. It's a continuum.
Right.
It never stops. I mean, it just.
Right.
And I thought that, you know, there was a timeline, chocolate, a time period. You know, it ended at a certain, it's going to end at a certain period. I don't have time. I'm going to run out of time. That's
mm-hmm.
not it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on purpose, you know, it's your life. It's, you know, you're inspired, you know.
Absolutely,
you know, from inertia to inspiration and back again, you know. We're repeating these cycles. The cycles never end. I mean, it's days and months, and it just goes on and on and on. But I want to grow. I want to continue to grow. If someone were to ask me, what would I tell these young people today?
Well, wait a minute. Wait. Don't say it, because I'm going to ask you that at the end of the show. So don't say it. Not right now. Okay, so now, you sang in the church. You did some singing in school.
Yeah.
You were a little shy. So now, when did you have your first, like, what you considered your first, let's say, professional gig?
Oh, okay. I was doing semi-professional around the city. But my first professional gig and that feeling of exhilaration came when I realized I was being chosen to be a part of the group Parlette and a member of the Parliament Funkadelic Band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
according to what I have here, is you were in local bands around Detroit.
Thanks. Right, right. Like I said, I was doing the semi-professional thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
around Detroit. I started out, well, you know, like I said, in the 60s was high school. You know, we were introduced to classical music, blah, 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 blah. The 70s, you know, we're bumping around town in a variety of musical bands. You know, we're cutting our teeth. You know, we're honing our talent. You know, we're learning, and we're putting our learning to experience by going out here and being in front of a live audience. Yeah, I guess you're right, Chocolate. It started back then. It did, that feeling, that special feeling. It started back then in the 70s with bands like Staheem. Staheem was an awesome band. We didn't realize how awesome we were. From that group came Kevin Carter, Rob Carter, James Carter, a host of Debbie Wright, Jeanette Washington. They were all part of the group at one time or another. Myself. It was the local bands. I was doing Staheem, Iron Horse Exchange, and
so many different ones, right?
Girl, come
on.
You know, you have a library. I have a library. It's just too much, too many files.
you know, right. Too many files.
I know. Because like you said,
it's
we
too
had
much
to go
music.
Through.
Everybody's got a project, you know.
Right,
so I got projects
right.
up the kazoo, all right?
Right, I understand. It's because I went
yeah.
through the exact same thing. Now, when I ask you to submit some of your favorite songs of all time, we're going to start out with one that you submitted by Shaka. Now, this is probably a song that you were might have done in some of your local bands. Now, tell me why you picked this particular song, Sweet Thing.
Sweet Thing, it's the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lyrics. It's the way the sweat just drips off of the lyrics. It's the way the Shaka bends those notes. It's Shaka's tone. You know,
okay.
It's her. It's just her delivery, the song, the band, Rufus. It was so hot, you know.
Yes.
It was the music. It was the music of that summer, you know. It was funk. It was a different kind of funk, but Shaka just, you know, she had a way of, she had a funkiness. You know, she brought a whole nother attitude. You know, she was free and. And
she
and,
was, you know what she was? She was raw. That's what she was.
She was,
Shaka
raw.
Was raw.
Yes.
Yes,
that was raw funk. You know, like yourself.
Yeah.
Like yourself with Grand Central Station. You know, I'm looking at you guys like Shaka and yourself, Miss Chocolate, with Grand Central. You guys were trendsetters, you know. The outfits that you wore, we sort of patterned ourselves. You know, we were paying attention to the way that you dressed and the whole attitude. But yeah, Shaka, it's her delivery. It's the tone of her voice. It's Rufus. It's, you know.
Okay.
You
well,
know.
Very good. So we're going to start with that one right now. Sweet Thing,
okay.
Shaka.
Ooh,
bam.
All right.
I can't
Shaka. Getting those notes up there way up in the sky. I want to just see if I have this right. I'm going to attempt to run this down the way that the internet, okay, I'm going to blame it on the internet if it's wrong, okay, says this whole thing went down between the Brides of Funkenstein and part of that. Okay, here we go. So Debbie Wright and Malia Franklin started singing with P-Funk in the early 70s. Okay, in 76, Debbie Wright and Jeanette Washington became the first official female members of P-Funk. Okay, Lynn Mabry and Don Silver were singing with Sly Stone when they were recruited by Clinton in 77. Okay, with George adding the third original member, Malia, came back into the mix. Parlette was born February 1978. Okay, then Debbie Wright was replaced by Shirley Hayden and Parlette. Shirley, Malia, and Jeanette began recording. Okay.
Right.
Then Parlette joined the Brides and P-Funk for this massive European tour in 78. And then in 79, Franklin was replaced by Janice Evans and Parlette. Lynn Mabry left the Brides shortly after and was replaced by two of the Brides' background vocalists, Sheila Horn and Jeanette Magruder.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1980, Janice's sister, Gwen Dozier, stepped in for live shows with Parlette during Janice's maternity leave. Now, did I get all that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like the facts.
All right. Well, now, that was a lot of stuff going on right there. So, now tell me, what did it feel like when you got this call to be a pilot? Tell me all about that.
Well, the feeling, I was in the feeling from the beginning. I knew some of the issues they were having with Debbie. I knew the issues they were having with finding, last minute having to find a vocalist. And I knew the music. I was listening to the music, and I was dating Debbie's brother at the time, Jim Wright. So I was right in the midst of it. So I knew what was going on. Listening to all of the, you know, the bickering that was going on, because they had a record deal. Their tour was set and ready to happen, and Debbie became ill. So for several weeks, from my understanding, they were looking for a replacement. I was singing one afternoon. Jim was on the phone with Malia, and they were discussing what was happening with Parlette at that moment. Jim was the drummer for Parlette, the beginning, the original Parlette. He was the original drummer and sort of the band leader at that time. I think Ron Dunbar or George had designated him as the band leader, of course, and he's Debbie's brother. But I was humming, I think it was Pleasure Principle, singing Pleasure Principle, and Malia picked on my voice in the background and asked Jim, who is that? And he said, that's Shirley. And she said, well, that's the voice right there. And the next thing I knew, I was attending a rehearsal, an audition for Ron Dunbar. I thought George was going to be there, but he wasn't. Ron Dunbar, I guess, was his step in, along with the girls and the band. And I was a nervous wreck. I was, you know, I was excited. It was exhilarating. It was surreal. It was an out-of-body experience, you know.
Right.
Because this is my dream. Dreams do come true.
Yes, they do.
You know, they really do. I've heard nothing comes to a dream of a dream. No, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams do come true. If you are on purpose, if this is your will, if this is God's will, if this is your will, then this is, they do happen. And that's what was happening to me and for me. And my private life was so chaotic, you know, having a small child. My daughter was, what, 6, 7 years old. And, you know,
my social life was changing, you know, because I'm hanging out more at the studio, trying to find out what's going on, and things are changing. It was frightening, and it was exhilarating at the same time. Unbelievable.
Okay,
so
now,
you know, I thought I had hit the big time, you know.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
The largest funk group in the world, you know, come on. You can't go any higher, right?
Well, let me say this, since you asked me. I think Sly was taking them real high. I think Sly
was
taking them higher. You know,
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you asked me, so that's what I think. So
you're right. I was listening to Sly too. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. So you were already sort of in the mix because, you know, the whole P-Funk thing, it was extraordinary to say the least. A lot was going on with George.
A lot was going on,
especially on stage. It was like, everywhere you looked, something was going on. So that was a unusual way to be introduced. But because you already knew and you were already sort of in the mix, that part of it being on stage, that element, the way he presented himself, because if you didn't know anything about P-Funk, just that part alone, just being on stage with all that energy and all everything that was going on at one time, that's enough to scare you right there. But you already knew a little bit about that, so
I knew a little bit about that. I knew a little bit about it, Chocolate, because I had attended a live show. My dad, I forgot that Daddy had taken me and my sisters to a live concert event at the Olympia Stadium here in Detroit. I was about 15, 16, you know, first year in high school, something like that. And Parliament was on the bill. And at that particular time, George was wearing a mohawk, and he was wearing this sheet, you know, as a covering. And I believe maybe a jockey strap. Lord, please let there have been a jockey strap up in there. But from where I was sitting, which was like behind the band, so to speak, you know, my dad was a security guard at the Olympia at that time. And so, you know, he had us up in the nosebleed area. But I could see the groups, the musical groups, as they would come from, you know, the entry into the Coliseum and the way the audience just swooped down on them. And that energy, that sound of the audience shrilling and you know, and lights flashing and the smell, you know, that exhilaration was exciting. And I wanted to be a part of something like that. But, you know, you don't know how. You don't know how.
Right.
You know. I'm 15, 16 years old. I was mesmerized.
Right.
By that. And later on, you know, I'm listening to stuff like Cosmic Slop and America Eats Its Young and, you know, Call My Baby Pussy and just, you know, loving it.
Okay.
So
now here you are in the group Parlette. So what did you have to do a lot of rehearsing before you guys struck out? Because I've heard stories that, you know, George would just hear somebody's voice and like them, and then that night they might be on stage playing or singing or whatever. So did you have a chance to do any of that? Or, you know,
well, what happened? One Nation. One Nation was they were putting the finishing touches to One Nation. He wanted some more backup vocals and some hand claps. Mm-hmm. And that's how, that was my first recording session. I don't know if I got credit for it on the album. I don't know. But that was my first, that was my introduction, my first studio. I had never clapped a wood board so hard. I'd never clapped a wood board, you know, two wooden mm-hmm. links. That's how they mm-hmm. got that fat, funky sound. And,
okay.
you know, doubling, tripling, quadrupling the backup vocals, you know. I loved,
right.
I loved the way they would stack the vocals. I mean, they were, Gary Scheider was a master, George, you know, they're masters, and we had the master engineers, you know,
yeah, well, you know,
and
that's
creating.
The way they did it. Yeah, that's the way they did
I
it back though. In
I
those days,
loved
you know,
it.
Doing all
loved
that, doing that doubling, that tripling. Okay, so that was your first introduction right there. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so where, now let me ask you this. Upon entering into this whole scene, the other ladies that were already in Parlette, how did you feel received by them?
Well, to tell you the truth, Malia Franklin, just a sweetie pie, warm, very loving, very accommodating. She was definitely... And very confident. She was very confident. She was a pro, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I admired the professionalism I saw in Malia Franklin. Now,
right.
in order to learn what was happening with Parlette, you know, what the stage presence was all about, you know, what are we doing on stage, the harmonies, the whatever, the structure of the songs, the live show performance, I lean more toward Malia. Jeanette wasn't as accommodating, and I didn't realize how much younger she was than myself and Malia, a few years younger. But she wasn't
okay.
as accommodating. I think I was a threat to
mm-hmm.
her because Chocolate, I could sing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I came into the organization with skills,
mm-hmm.
okay? And, you know, having the background already in music, like you said, coming from church, that gospel tinge, the rhythm, the whole thing, being in all the bands and such, you know, I was equipped.
mm-hmm.
And
right.
that I didn't realize at the time, I believe it was a threat. It was a threat. So they would try to intimidate you in a variety of ways. You know how women
right,
can be
right.
very catty.
Yes, I
very
do.
Catty.
I do.
And they were very catty, you know. I didn't understand the vibration, the attitude with the girls. I did learn that it has something to do with contracts. You know, George wasn't treating the women favorably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Debbie had become ill. Malia was a very, she was very dissatisfied with the way her understanding of her role in Parlette was happening. She was very discouraged. You know, her contract was effed up. You know, George was not, he wasn't delivering the goods as he had promised her he would. He, you know, her mother, who was her manager, he had promised her certain, he had made certain promises.
Right,
and
right.
He was not upholding his end of the bargain. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
there was, and they were preparing for the European tour, and they didn't want to take Parlette. I had just gotten into the group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to get in where I fit in, okay?
Right.
I'm just trying, you know, can we all just get along is where I was,
right.
you know, what is the problem? Why is everybody so angry?
Right.
You know, I mean, I have to fight to leave home to go to the studio. I literally had to fight to break away from the home to get to the studio. You know, I had to fight here at Honda. You get to the studio and the stupidity going on. It's like, wow. No, I never understood the temperature. I never understood why the women were so angry. But I think that was all designed by George Clinton. I think I think George set it up so that the women pitted themselves against one another. You know what I mean?
I sure do.
Debbie, I think he saw a lot of potential in Debbie. Debbie was his lead vocalist. Jeanette was like a secondary vocalist. She was up and coming. I couldn't follow Jeanette. As a professional, when I first got into the group, I could not. Jeanette didn't have the vocal ability. I thought she didn't. You know, she wasn't polished.
Yeah, like you said, you were for all practical purposes, you had already been singing. You were skilled, you said.
Right,
so,
I was skilled.
So,
I came in with skills.
Yeah. So to
so
come
I
in,
believe-
you needed that. You need that because when three women, when a trio of any kind, three women, three men, are singing together, blend is extremely important.
Very important.
Extremely important.
She knew how to blend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knew how to blend. She knew harmony. You know, she knew unison. You know, she knew how to, her phrasing was beautiful. The loudness, she knew when to pull back and when to pull it up. You know, Jeanette was not polished, and I couldn't follow Jeanette.
Right.
In learning the music. I mean, I had to. There were some points that Jeanette brought out. I mean, she was a hell of a dancer. She was a hell of a dancer. And later on, I learned that, you know, she was really a sweetie pie, but she was just so angry and she didn't trust anybody. And it was always, a competitive thing with her. I never really felt that from Malia. Never felt that from Malia, for the most part. We were buds.
Okay.
You know,
and like
you said,
Jeanette was also younger.
Yeah, she was younger. I didn't realize until later on after we split up that she was much younger, maybe 4 or 5 years younger.
Okay.
You know, I'm 62. I just had a birthday in April. April
9th. Congratulations.
Thank
throwing
you.
Throwing that funk out there. Keeping that funk
girl,
up.
Girl.
I heard
I
that, girl.
I got another one in me. Okay?
I hear you.
Hey, I believe I could do it one more time. I told Dawn
Silva.
Yes,
you can.
I told Dawn Silva. I said, Dawn, I believe I got one more funk in me. I got one more live tour. I want to tour. I want to get this music out here. These people need and want to hear this music. I need and want to hear this music. I need to perform this music. As a matter of fact, she asked me to tell you hello.
Okay,
I was
Dawn,
I've
been trying to get her on
her
the show. I'm still working on her. Yeah, so, so now shortly after you joined the group, I believe, Pleasure Principle was released. Is that the way it went, or was it released before?
Pleasure Principle was already on the chart.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so they were ready. Go ahead.
I came in at the beginning of the tour. The tour was already set up.
Okay.
So we had like a couple of weeks. I was literally thrown on the stage. Okay. I cut my teeth right there on the stage down south. Okay. My first professional, all-out professional gig. Just bam.
Right.
You know.
Okay. And I have some more questions to ask you about that. But before I do, we're going to listen to Pleasure principal. Now, this was like on Casablanca Records, right? And this was,
right.
Was this like
this was
the
her
first?
Hit.
Okay.
This was the first and of, the name of the
that
album.
That was the first. Okay, okay. And the name of the album. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Pleasure Principal. Bam.
Chocolate, give me a minute to get Pleasure loaded up, please.
Okay, baby.
Okay. So,
thank you.
Let me know, Reedy J, when you have it up. So I can ask you this question then that I was going to ask you. So how did it feel like, how did the, well, let me just spit it out. How did the men treat you? Did you feel like you were received with respect in this particular situation?
You know, that is, men are tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, Funkadelic was just so, the men in Funkadelic were just so out there.
Right.
They were like your little brother or your big brother. You know how playful.
Uh-huh.
That playful type of relationship. I had that type of relationship with the majority of the men in Parliament Funkadelic. For the most part, there was the utmost.
Uh-huh.
The utmost respect from all
okay.
of the men. But, you know, you never really knew how to truly read them, because if I were to listen to, if I had listened to Michael Clip Payne back in the day, you know, it's like I wasn't aware that I was being pursued by these men, certain men. I didn't recognize that, you know, they were pursuing me.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't my there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if he was pursuing me, then this other one is pursuing me. I mean, when you start to recognize, oh, that was a pass. That was a he's flirting with me. Oh,
right,
and so
right.
And so and so is flirting with me. Oh, but I saw him flirting with the other girl. You know. Oh, now, you know. Oh, wait a minute. Now I see him over with blah blah blah. Now she's over there with. Okay, what's going? Nah, I don't want any
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want that type of
reputation
attitude.
For one thing.
Yes. Yes, I don't
mm-hmm.
want, and I didn't have that reputation. You know, I have my buddies, but I was not the whore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I wasn't sleeping around. I wasn't trying to put, you know, stripes on my belt or, you know, get brownie points or anything. I just wanted to sing. Gary Scheider became my mentor, and Gary was a hell of a producer. I mean, he really knew how to pull a song out of you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He had that, yeah, Gary could, he would make you sing a lyric line over and over and over again. I mean, getting that, just getting the right attitude, the right character behind it. Gary had that, he had that know-how. He was a great teacher, a great coach. He could bring out the best. And people like Gary Scheider, Junie Morrison would say things to me like, I hear you, Baba. You know, Gary would always say, get up in the mic. I could hear myself, and I thought, too loud. I was too pronounced.
Uh-huh.
My mouth is just too... Gary would tease me, get up in the mic.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
They wanted more of me. And
right.
when I saw how, you know, maybe somebody was responding to it or there were little things being said, I realized that, oh.
Okay. So that's
you know,
what I wanted to know. I wanted to know about the respect level because, you know, that was an issue from time to time depending on, you know, because the genre was so male dominated until that was an issue many times, and so I'm glad that it sounds like your experience for the most part was a positive one. So we found pleasure principle, I believe, and so now we are getting ready to play it. Bam,
okay.
Here we go.
All right, baby.
Everybody looks at you, and
Okay, it was, but it was a funky one. So listen, can we keep you for a while? You in a hurry? You got it? Okay, good. Because
no.
I have some phone calls. I have some callers that have been waiting for a long time. So if it's all right with you, we're gonna take a few calls. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start with area code. I just want to let you know I see you, area code 419, and I see you, area code 646. But we're going to start with area code 305. Area code 305, are you there?
Yeah.
who might this be, area code 305?
This is Girlie Hayden's brother, Dozo the Clown.
I knew it was you, but I had to act like.
This is Shirley Hayden's brother, Sozo.
Hey, Sozo, I was calling you. I'm going to call you to thank you. Thank you for setting me up with Miss Chocolate.
Well, you guys
Absolutely.
Are setting it off. That's what you guys are doing is setting it off, and it sounds great. Get down.
Thank you,
Shirley. That Sozo did. He hooked me up with Shirley, and I requested you, and he said, oh, that ain't nothing but a phone call. And he hooked it right up.
I love
he hooked it right up. And this, it's been cool. I'm so glad that it happened this way. So now, Stozo, we know that you and Shirley are brothers and sisters, but I got other callers on the line, but I know you have something very pertinent to say or ask. So go ahead and drop it. What is it?
Well, Shirley knows how much there's love on the side from the clown that makes his nose red. But you know what? I was listening to you guys talking about the funk, and Shirley, you know, boy, you guys are taking us to school. And I wanted to say in something about the funk that, and you know this, Patrice, you know this, Shirley, you got to have a sense of humor. And I think that, you know, me being such a clown would be a good thing to talk about for a second because Shirley, let me tell you, Shirley sings. But Shirley was kind of like a clown. She wore some clown into the funk, too, now, you know. And
yeah.
I used to love Shirley because she used to clown people out. And we even got her on tape. I think, she's on the Electric Spanking or something at the beginning of that, Shirley?
Yes. You know I love electric spanking.
Shirley
and
does character voices, Patrice. Shirley does some bad-ass character voices. And she got this. Shirley does the work. Shirley is the work.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Stozo. You know, but we didn't have a chance to you know, I'm happy that that opportunity was given to me. But if we had had the, you know, the space, to create, to clear our minds and just, you know, just let the creativity flow. Can you imagine what it would have truly, what kind of music we would have produced?
Absolutely, Shirley.
Even in
Shirley. And,
even
you know,
in
if
that
it's based, if it's based anywhere near what it, what was produced, you better believe it. We could just, we still, like you guys said earlier, we could just keep doing this, you know. Let's just keep doing this, you know.
Let's just keep doing it. Yes, yes.
Keep,
and creativity, that's that spirit, Stozo. If you're on purpose, if that is your purpose in your life, it is something that's ongoing. You know, that's your true self. This outer work is our true self. It's our expression of our unique talent. Yes, I have always been a clown. You know,
yes,
I
and
from,
I really
thought
that I was listening. I was listening to the show earlier, Shirley, and I heard you say that, and that was very heartwarming. I like the stuff you said about Gary, and we're all teaching each other. And as fine as you and Chocolate are, I'm always kind of nervous here to be between all these fine women that sing and do stuff, and you and Chocolate are so beautiful. So, you know, and I, it was my pleasure to draw Shirley Hayden on the Parlette covers and to contribute to the whole thing that we all did for the P-Funk and for everybody, really. The funk is the funk, you know, all of it is. So
right.
I encourage
you,
us all
sir.
Right now to agree we're going to keep giving it up.
Yes,
that's right.
No doubt.
Okay, my
I'm
going to
let y'all
and
keep giving it up, too. Love you, Shirley. Let's talk more, Patrice.
Love
you know
that.
How I
we
feel.
Will, Stozo. Okay, baby.
So you continue to listen. You might learn some. Hey, Stozo,
yeah,
you might learn.
Yeah, you better believe it.
So you continue to listen. Okay, love you, my brother.
Okay, Shirley, love you.
Love
Take
you,
care
Stozo.
Now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, baby. All right, so now this next call is area code 646. If they are still there, area code 646. They've been holding on for a long time. They might have got tired of holding on, Shirley. But I had to get the funk out. I had to get the funk 101 out. You know what I'm saying? So
I
area,
hear you,
code,
honey.
Area code 646 must be gone. So
okay.
Area code 419. 419, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So
hey,
who,
419.
Who are we speaking to?
This is Jared in Toledo.
Hi, Jared.
Oh, hi, Jared. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing okay. I just want
I
to say that.
I said if anyone was listening, it would be Jared.
Jared is. He is the biggest supporter. He is the biggest supporter. So, Jared, what is it that you have to ask Sister Shirley or comments
well,
you have to make?
You've actually done a very good job with the questions and everything. I don't know if I have as good of a question. The only thing I can just ask, Shirley, is the observation. When you're recording all those songs, it could have been for Parlette or Funkadelic or Parliament. Was it kind of like organized confusion at times, you know, with so many different projects?
Most definitely. And I had to make sense. I had to have some sort of order.
Right.
I had to, you know, about that because I had an outside life, but it was so exciting. You know, it was so exciting. And, you know, being youthful, you just, I don't know, we had a way of organizing stuff in our mind, you know, and having some skills, some adult skills. Like I said, I had a small daughter at home, 6, 7 years old.
you know, I had some adult skills.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I knew how to organize. You know, you had to be somewhat organized in your own mind, Jared, because the outer world was so crazy, but it was exciting at the same time. I had never experienced anything like that before. This was my first true experience in a professional recording center studio. And then, you know, you're mesmerized by, am I really doing this? You know, mm-hmm. I'm really here with, that's George Clinton. I mean, you start seeing superstars, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you start putting, this is not a dream, this is real, this is my purpose for being. So I tried to make sense. I tried to keep it organized. I did my best.
Okay, and that's all you can ever do. And I know that was more than a notion. I know it was more than a notion, Shirley. You deserve a gold star, girl. I'm going to go find you a gold star and send it to you. So, Jared, did she kind of answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, and my final thing is, you know, I kind of feel bad for a lot of the ladies in the P-Funk because they really didn't get their just due. You know, with Shirley, Sheila, Dawn, and Jessica Cleese, who passed away, Malia, you guys just really didn't get your due credit. And thanks for taking my question.
You are more
Thank
than welcome.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. And you are so right on, Jared. We weren't recognized. The value wasn't there. We did not receive the recognition. We never felt as though we were truly valued back in the day. And I think today, 2014, by my being in conversation with a few of the ladies, that we are going to bring about a different attitude. We're going to make it right. We have to look at the past, as ugly as some of it has been, in order to move forward. And today, I believe we're moving forward. Myself on Silva. We're in conversation. I can safely say that Parlette and the Brides of Funkenstein are soon going to be doing a project together.
I know there are a lot of people that are happy to hear that and can't wait for that to take place. Right, Jerry?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
And this
so
is the
yay.
Year of the book. This is the year of our book, okay?
Oh, okay.
The Girl
All
is
right.
Bad. Yes, we have a book coming out written by Seth Neblett, who is Malia Franklin's son, who
mm-hmm.
has – Seth has been our documentarian since the beginning, the onset. He has really kept the idea of the women being inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He has kept that at the forefront. We have given him the meat, the nuts and the bolts to the story of the women of Funkadelic, and he has woven it into a beautiful story. The book, The Girl is Bad, is coming out this year. We have a lot
All
of
right.
beautiful we have a lot of beautiful projects happening, Chocolate, like my latest project with The Black Man and Sean Papa Sean. I'm very proud of being associated with the Black Planet Music. We have this single called Some Ain't Right, which came out about two months ago. And we're going to
hear that, too, shortly.
Okay,
shortly.
Okay.
I'm very proud.
I'm very proud of the work that I've been doing with the Black Man and Sean Papa Sean, Black Planet Music.
All right.
Just a couple of days ago. Yeah, a couple of days ago we were working on the video for our new single, which is about to drop. It's a collaboration. I'm collaborating with these young brothers, underground rappers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so it's
awesome,
putting
Shirley.
It's putting
awesome.
Shirley back on the map. Yeah, it's putting Shirley. I'm relevant. Yeah, Shirley is relevant.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's what's happening. It doesn't.
And
stop.
So we need to get that T-shirt. So Jared, is that
what T-shirt
it?
Is that chocolate?
That Shirley is relevant T-shirt.
Oh, I like that. I really like that chocolate.
Oh. Okay, Jared. So thank you so much for calling, and we're going to, we're going to keep it moving. You know how I do, okay? So you
yeah.
continue to
thank
listen,
you.
Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Jared.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I want to know, Shirley. Now, who was there first? I think the Brides of Funkenstein were involved first and then part of that. Is that how it went?
Well, Debbie was singing with Parliament Funkadelic. George enlisted, Debbie and Jeanette were singing with Parliament Funkadelic, and I think, they were on the tour maybe for a year or so with Parliament Funkadelic as the female voices.
Right.
And I think that Dawn and Lynn were singing with Sly Stone at the time.
Right.
And I think that somehow, I don't know how it really happened, but George.
And I read all that, too. I ran the whole thing down and still trying to get who started first. But my main point is this. Here's what I want to know. Was there any kind of, what's the word I want to use? Well, I'm just going to keep it real. Was there any kind of vibe between the two of you? I mean, any real competition between the two groups?
Most definitely.
It was terrible, chocolate.
It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Parlette was treated as the stepchild, okay?
Okay.
The Brides were the chosen ones. They were with Atlantic Records. And it seemed as though Atlantic Records gave them more attention. It seemed as though George gave them more attention. After
mm-hmm.
Debbie became ill, it's as though George, his attention... the attention that he was giving to Parlette was redirected. I mean, George, I mean, look at it. Parlette's first album cover was historical.
Mm-hmm.
The Pleasure Principle album cover. You can tell that there was... thought, quality, time, money, investment, shall I say, had gone into Parlette. And I
mm-hmm.
think after Debbie became ill, he lost the interest.
Okay.
I tend to think. The Brides of Funkenstein, I think that the Brides, they were the Brides. I mean, that's how Lynn Mabry was and is a sweetie pie. Lynn never treated me indifferently, but Dawn did, and she knows it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had this discussion. Dawn was a bitch.
Uh-huh.
She was a bitch.
And you know what, Shirley? Let me tell you this. I just have to say this to you right now. I am so glad that you are so forthcoming, because one thing about everybody is a star. I want to keep, and everybody that listens to my show on a regular basis knows that I am concerned about keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Tell us mm-hmm. like it really was. So,
tell
you know,
like
I am,
really
I'm really enjoying you right now. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Chocolate. Thank you.
Because
I'm
there's
enjoying
no way. Because there's no way that you can have two female groups, you know, on the same stage with one another, and everything is peachy king, and everybody loves everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's just
why
no way.
Why is that,
so,
Chocolate? Can you tell me why it's that way?
Oh, girl, you know what? We would have to do another whole show for me to
That's another show.
But it was rough for a minute, but apparently it smoothed out, though, as time went on.
Well, it's healing, yes, and it's taken, I mean, that was 30 years ago, over 30
oh,
years
right,
ago, Chocolate.
Right, right.
So it's taken us a very long time. Just here recently, I reached out to a couple of the women of Brides of Funkenstein and Parlette. And asked them if we could put all of the, whatever the drama, the emotional stuff is, was,
mm-hmm.
can we put that behind us and think creatively about creating new streams of income for ourselves. One of them being for me is collaboration, coming together, collaborating on some new music or reintroducing the old music, touring.
Mm-hmm.
We've
mm-hmm.
attempted this several times, but
mm-hmm.
for, you know, whatever reasons, fear. You know how that ego is. It gets in the way of the business. I just ask, can we put the business up front? Can we? I want and I need financial security, Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I need
a warm blanket. I need medical and dental insurance.
Okay.
This is what's happening for me today. And the way that I see myself capitalizing on that, on the legacy, creating new streams of income, is by doing Parlette, by doing the Brides of Funkenstein. If we can collaborate on a project, how awesome is that? We all need some money. We were all hit by the recession. You know,
absolutely.
The country was hit by
right.
this recession. We all lost. And as President Obama asked us, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, to have this entrepreneurial spirit. That's what I've always been about, the entrepreneurial
Correct.
Spirit. Let's
and
get it.
You're right, Shirley. And on top of that, just how awesome would it be for the fans? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you have to think about, if it were not for the fans, there would not be anybody to come and see you guys. So if you can go out there and give the fans what they want again, there's nothing more powerful than music. There's nothing more powerful than the energy between the artists and their fans. And, you know, it's a zone that everybody gets in that, you know, that if, like you said, you got one more in you and is something that cannot even be explained in words. It's just, and just to be up on that stage and just creating that once again, and just, you know, because it all comes from God. So
it's healing. That's right. It all comes from
God. Absolutely.
It's healing, and it's all about, that's right. It's spirit. And to express that blessing.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
To express blessing, to come together on one accord, how
and
powerful.
And make that money at the same time.
Chocolate, Like I told Dawn, I said, Dawn, I see it. I smell it. It's yearning for us. It's positioned for us to take it. Everybody else is capitalizing off of it.
That's right.
George is traveling all over the world. You know, and his people are performing the same music and making money. We can be doing the same thing, okay?
And guess what? You will be. Because you are speaking that into existence. You are speaking
that's right. Because I believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
As Dawn Silva told me this yesterday afternoon, she said her last conversation with Jessica Cleaves, Jessica said, Dawn, everybody believes, everybody wants us but us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants us but us. We don't want to do good, to do well for ourselves. And it seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come. You know, each woman, each individual is exceptional in her own right, Chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These
Absolutely.
Are exceptional women in their own right. But the way that we were recognized, the way that we were distinguished, you were a bride to Funkenstein. I was a parlette. Why can't we come together, do that music, and then afterwards do your projects, do whatever it is that you want. I'm sure the money will be there. It's promised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
right.
sure it will be there.
Absolutely.
But
go ahead.
To come together as the world has known us as the Brides of Funkenstein, as a parlette, is, now, that would be lucrative.
Right.
I believe
so, too. And I believe that it would be highly successful. So we're just going to wait for that to happen because we know it's coming. Now, I have this one last phone call that if I don't let him speak to you, I don't know what would have happened. So I don't even want to find out what happened. So his number is 323-309.
Okay.
323-309. Are you there?
Good evening, Funk.
This is
A. Scott Galloway calling in, and I've been really having a nice time listening to you all talk about the history of this funk. I really have. Hello, Shirley.
Girls. Hi, honey. The girls are visiting this evening.
It's very cool. I had two questions to keep it moving, one about the past and one about the future.
Okay.
For the past, what I wanted to know, Shirley, was when you first came into the group Parlette, was there ever any discussion about what the concept of Parlette was on its own merit? And then, of course, you know, what separates Parlette from the Brides of Funkenstein or any other, you know, females that they had in the organization?
No, there was never any talk about the concept. You know, I came in at a hurried time, a hurried period in the life of Parlette. They had a tour that was, they were set, ready to tour, and their lead vocalist became ill, and they needed hurriedly a person to fill that space. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, I was briefed a little bit, but no one ever said what Parlette is. I knew that there was big attitude. You know, I knew Debbie Wright. I knew Jeanette Washington. I knew that there was big attitude there. And I knew that I had to be strong vocally. That's basically all I knew. I didn't know the concept of the first album, you know. Getting into the concept of the second album was really strange. You know, we're talking androids and terrestrial beings and such. It was strange. The aura was that about learning the show, so it was nuts and bolts, very basic. And as I grew to understand, and I grew to understand by doing it, by experiencing it, no one said this is what it is. You were just thrown into the mix, and you did what you did. And you learned accordingly. You learned accordingly. So I cut my funkadelic teeth by being thrown on the major stage. You know, hook and line. Yeah, it was frightening. It was frightening because, you know, you're trying to get your balance. You know, you're trying to find your legs. You know, it was a lot going on. You're trying to breathe. You know, you got the movement. Yeah, so it was a development. It was a process. It took a minute for me to learn the concept. I had a problem with it because everything was so cut and dry. It was, you know, no one was really talking. We were just doing.
It's interesting because I was listening to the track that they played. Yeah, the track that they played earlier, that the Pleasure Principle, it had all these jazz elements to it. So, you know, I was thinking, was George trying to create a kind of P-Funk Pointer Sisters or something? You know,
George loved the girl groups. He loved the girl groups. He loved the Motown girl groups. He loved LaBelle, you know. Nona is one of his buddies, Nona Hendrix is one of his friends. I mean, he's always loved the girl group-ish type of sound, the harmonies, you know, the girl up front, the backup singers.
And Shirley, I just want to say that A. Scott Galloway is the one that the go-to person for any like compilation of CDs and so much stuff. So much. I've had him on the show before. So many things he does. I don't even want to say the wrong thing because it's so much. But he writes the linear notes, right? Correct. I know you don't want to blow your own horn, but I just want her to know exactly what you do briefly.
Yeah. I write liner note essays for CD reissues and compilations, and I actually did a lot of work for Harry Weinger over at PolyGram when they were putting out reissues, including the one on Parlette, which I didn't get to do that one. I think they got somebody who was very close in the P-Funk camp to do that one. But, I just was, it's a real pleasure to talk to you tonight because of all the organizations and groups in the 70s of funk and, you know, black band music, you know, Parliament Funkadelic thing was always the most mind-boggling to me. You know, the words.
And me too.
you know, crazy, you know, and you know, disorganization or whatever. I mean, I don't want to diss or anything, but, I mean, it's just, you just always felt like, you know, you didn't know who was doing what. You had to really either be inside the camp to know exactly who was doing things. So, you know, I'm a very concept-oriented person, so that's why I asked. I was just always very curious if, you know, how much thought and concept was put into the groups, and if, you know, George had the concept, but because he was so busy and so torn between all the different projects he was doing that he couldn't bring all of them to the fruition that, you know, he would have liked. But
I'm sure the concept was already laid. I'm sure Invasion of the Booty Snatchers, you're talking extraterrestrial. So, you know, George is doing a lot of study with space science and such, and I'm sure that the girls discuss, the early girls discuss the concept of, you know, the pleasure principle. The pleasure principle was all about sex the pleasure principle was about satisfaction, sexual satisfaction for the most part. Mm-hmm. And George wanted that type of female that could deliver sexually the vocals as well as the physical persona.
Yeah.
And that's what I got from the Pleasure Principle, you know.
Yeah, you can always get a good handle on what the concept of the albums or those kind of things were. I mean, you can kind of figure that out. So it's like the albums were conceptual, but, you know, that's why I was asking how conceptual was the group Parlette, and then how would you distinguish what Parlette was about from what the Brides were about, if there was any distinction? And you said you didn't know.
I personally was just
trying to get in where you fit in, right?
Get in, like I said earlier, get in where I
fit
in. It seemed to me that Parlette was more funkier. It was, as Chocolate said about Chaka Khan earlier, Parlette was more raw funk.
Okay.
You know, I think Parlette was, their deliverance was more rock and roll tinged. It was more like Parliament Funkadelic. It was more like the musical band. I think that the Brides of Funkenstein, they were looked at as being a little more sophisticated. You know, they sang, everything was done in harmonies. Even though Parlette, they started out, initially they started with harmonies. I mean, unison, starting unison, and no distinguishable voice. And I think it was designed like that by George Clinton. Parlette's costumes, I would say, were, even though, you know, the Brides were funky, they had the foxtails and the blah, 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 but they were elaborate. Parlette's costumes, and I think back, we were more like, I would compare us to our style like that of a LaBelle, you know.
Okay.
We were funky, you know, funky, skin tight. Even though all of us wore that, I think that was the look in the 70s, you know. The
right.
Tight fitting.
Right.
Incredible.
You know,
thank you. I mean, that's more insight than I've ever had.
Okay.
Into all
okay.
of that.
Okay.
Really,
good.
Truly.
Thank you, Scott, for calling, and thank you for holding on, and I appreciate you, and I hope to see you soon, my brother.
Absolutely. We're
thank you,
for that.
Scott.
Thank you, Shirley. Do I still have time for the future question?
Okay.
The question about the future?
Oh, the future? What's up with the future?
Well, I just heard you talking about, you know, wanting to bring the two groups together and all that.
Oh,
but
yeah,
would
that's
you,
happening.
So would you, so doing that, are you going to be moving forward with all new music, or are you going to have to rely on the music that is, you know, George's, which is most of the time involved in some kind of legal litigation and all that? Like, you know, I'm just being realistic. I mean, if you guys were to get back together, I mean, you know, and he even owns the names of the groups and all of that. So I'm wondering if you guys moving forward into the future is going to
really involve you
doing stuff like a new concept with all of you as one, or are you going to try and fight that battle of getting the rights to recreate something that is owned by Mr. Clinton and whoever else, you know, signed off on those contracts?
Well, as far as the music, we can do the music. There were certain writers that we're in contact with right now. George wasn't the sole writer. I know his name appears on everything, but we will be redoing a couple of the old songs, maybe two, but for the most part, with the new projects that we're coming out with, we're talking new music. We want to rework a couple of the old songs.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be difficult getting permission to do that. Okay. Knowing who the writers are.
Right.
Yes.
On the song.
Well,
yeah.
We'll be standing on the verge waiting for that, won't we, Scott?
There you go,
hey.
Patrice. That's what I'm talking about, chocolate.
And me,
all the very best of luck with that. I really love to see
thank
it happen.
You.
Thank you, Patrice,
thank you.
For letting me get these questions in, and thank you, Shirley, for asking for answering them for me. Much
you're
respect.
Very welcome.
Have a wonderful
thank
weekend.
Thank you for asking. Thank you.
Thank you,
too.
My
okay,
pleasure.
So
right. Good night, ladies.
Okay,
good
night.
Have a good one, baby.
Okay, so, Shirley, we need to get in right now. Exactly.
Okay,
want to
wind it up?
Yeah, we're going to start winding it up, unfortunately. But I want to start talking about what you're doing right now. That's what I want to talk about, what Shirley is doing right now. And I'm going,
Shirley.
You have mentioned your project with Black Men, and I'm going to play that. But, you know, what else are you doing right now?
Okay, let me set that up. That is what I am doing right now musically. I'm working with the Black Men and Sean Papa Sean, some of Detroit's finest underground rappers and producers. This is Black Planet Music. And Black Planet Music has been in existence since the 80s, from my understanding. I just met Sean Papa Sean about a year ago. Mm-hmm. I've known Black Men for about 3 years. And Black Man and I collaborated with a rap artist by the name of Kid Rock. And that's how we came together. And we just seemed to mesh, I don't know, vocally, ideally, we just seemed to come together. We have a connection. And I'm truly enjoying the the off-the-cuff type of approach to recording. I mean, it's totally unorthodox as far as I'm concerned.
I hear you. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying the process. I feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I think I told Black Man and Sean that the other day. I'm learning how to relax. They're teaching me how to relax, how to go into the studio and just spit, just expound on whatever's on your mind. Just let it out,
okay.
You know.
All right. I heard that.
So,
and
that's what I'm
that
learning.
That has to be, like, so different than maybe what you might have been used to. Yeah, so.
It's a little frightening.
That's great. I can't wait to hear that. So now, just let me say that I know that you have been acting in musicals. You were in Ain't Misbehaving.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yamaya's Belly. I've done Yamaya's Belly.
Uh-huh.
I've done.
In the Greystone Jazz Museum Hall of Fame in Detroit.
Yes.
How great was that? And you toured the world, including Africa, with reggae artist. I know I'm going to get his name wrong, but I'm going to try.
Kareem Baki. Yes, Baki.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I've traveled Europe. I've traveled Asia. Yes, I've traveled Africa, performing in some of the world's most fascinating festivals, like the one that we did in Africa, the Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. We were invited by the government of Cote d'Ivoire to perform in the first Bob Marley Festival.
Wow.
So we were royalty. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We were treated like royalty, and it's one of the most awesome experiences that I've had in my musical career, in my life, actually.
Wow,
yeah.
That's awesome, and that's one thing that's one of the biggest blessings about being in this entertainment business. It has its ups and it has its downs, but
that's right.
For sure, you have memories that are, you know, that you will never forget. There's something that happened to you once in a lifetime, memories that you can't sometimes even express in words because it was so awesome what you were going through and a person just had to be there. So, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, so, you know, when we think about all the stuff that we've gone through, you know, we realize that there have been a lot of ups, too, you know. So,
we've had some ups.
Yep.
And
so,
I'm looking forward to the future. We have many ups in front of us. Like I said, my latest project is with a black man and Sean Papa Sean through Black Planet Music, and you can get this online. iTunes is where you can purchase our single or listen to the single, the first single, and I think you have it. It's Something Ain't Right.
Yes, I have it.
Came out a couple. Yes, and we are coming out with a new single called Stop Being Messy, and we've been working on the video. Yeah, so the video should hit the market around March 20th, from what I was told. So I'm very excited about this project. At the end of the summer, fall, Shirley Hayton should have a new CD out. That is my purpose for working with the black man and Sean. I'm writing. I'm arranging on the music that I'm doing with the black man and Sean Papa Sean. So, you know, these are skills that the world didn't know that I had. I'm learning that I have.
Well, you know what?
So,
that is awesome. That is awesome.
It is. I mean, we continue to grow, Chocolate.
Absolutely.
You know, to expand, I mean, that's what's happening, you know.
Absolutely.
It's a continuum. It's continuing. So
now I want to go back briefly. Let me go back briefly because time is running out. When I stopped you earlier about you were getting ready to say what you would tell artists today, what advice you would give today.
You know, I don't know. It's really it's like a double-edged sword. Don't become discouraged. You know, we can't abandon our dreams, even though we may become hopeless, it may look hopeless. If you truly believe, we can't abandon our dreams. You know, as long as we're struggling, people don't, and you don't really see the value in what you're doing. But it seems once a person becomes successful, everybody wants to claim you.
Right.
I don't know why we as a group, or I feel successful in my life because I'm doing it, and I continue to do it. I'm still motivated. I'm still passionate about what I do. I wake up every day encouraged, inspired by music. So I thank God for placing music in my life, making me to be the vocalist that I am, because I'm never bored. I'm never bored in my life because music is always there. Music is always keeping me enlivened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
with
the young people, you know, we have to support one another. We have to keep one another. We have to nourish our talents and encourage one another.
Absolutely.
You know, we have to keep the positive. We have to keep the positive. We have to seek assistance from positive people. We have to surround ourselves with positive people. It's not just about the money. It's not just about the money. It's the gratification. It's the gift that Spirit has given us. It's that feeling that we receive. We spoke of earlier being on stage, being able to heal a people with the sound of our voice. What a beautiful gift that is. You have to see the value in the gift. I know sometimes we'll get caught up in all of the traps. Those experiences, they seem to be a part of the journey, the road, but you can't stay there. You can't allow these trappings, these worldly trappings catch you. You know, they let them be fleeting, but don't get captured. I don't know what it is to have a lot of money and to... I don't know what it is to live a life like a Miley Cyrus or Beyonce. I know that we were doing it before Beyonce. I don't know what that is.
Right.
So
what you do know is that you wouldn't trade what you have done for anything in the world. Like we just got through saying,
the experiences
we have been able to witness are priceless. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, what's for you has your name on it. And, you know, about it is that you and the other ladies we have spoken about, pioneers, legacies you have been leaving, you know. So in the history books, you know what I'm saying, you will be there is what I'm saying.
List.
So, and so that's what I'm saying. And that at the end of the day, that really is what counts to me. It's like, what have you given? What kind of service? What will people be able to glean from what you've done, what you've left, what you've sacrificed? And so
that's
the main thing. So
that's right.
Yeah, you know, I hate to end this conversation, but you got any shout outs?
Hey, I would like to shout out to the ladies of Parlette and Brides of Frankenstein. I would like to also shout out to my girl Ping, who did her story this evening with Satori Shakur's the Secret Society of Storytellers. She did her Monumental Mother this evening. So a shout out to all the ladies who attended the Secret Society of the Twisted Storytellers tonight, Cheryl, Satori, all my girls. I love you, and I look forward to our future projects.
That's what I'm talking about, Dunk, because you know
it's going to be
you can't leave this one out over here. If you're talking about funk, this one got to be in it. You know what I'm saying? So
thank you, Chocolate.
It's very. I'm excited for all the things that you spoke about tonight that you have coming up, and we'll be all looking forward to it. And I just want to thank tonight my family. I want to say for all things chocolate, go to patricechocolatebanks.com. I want to thank all the Funkalutionaries on Facebook. I want to thank the Facebook Nation. I want to thank Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel. And I just want to say God bless all of y'all. And remember that everybody is a star. Your shine is just different from mine. And may the funk continue to be with you. And what we're going to do now is we're going to play Shirley's project we were talking about with the black man. Is called Something Ain't Right, and she has some more songs that she submitted. So we're just going to go out on all the songs that Shirley likes and that she jams to. And thank you guys for joining me again this week on Everybody Is a Star. And Shirley, I hope to talk to you soon. And it has been
thank you, Chocolate. You are truly awesome. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Me too. And so here we go with Something Ain't Right. Bam.
Okay.
Okay, unfortunately, we might be having some technical difficulties, but you can go to YouTube.
Yes.
And check out Some Main Right.
That's right.
Now, is it the black man? I'm calling him black man, but is it the black man?
Okay. No, just black man. Mm-hmm.
Black man featuring Shirley Hayden.
Yeah, something ain't right.
Okay. Okay, something ain't right. Something ain't right right now, but that's all right. We're gonna get it fixed. Okay, Shirley, so I'm going to sign off for tonight. And
are we signing off, Chocolate?
Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. It looks like it. It looks like we're
okay,
signing
honey.
Off. Right. Okay, so thank you very
thank
much.
You. You're soon. Very welcome to be continued.
Okay. All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Javon.
System tries to bring